Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's June 26, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, militarized police refuse to disclose public records request to the American people. Meanwhile, armed agents bust Healthy Family Farms for conspiracy to sell raw milk. And a 73-year-old veteran is threatened with foreclosure for displaying the American flag. All that and much more tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. We'll begin with this tonight. Supreme Court bans warrantless cell phone searches. The Supreme Court ruled Wednesday that police cannot go snooping through people's cell phones without a warrant in a unanimous decision that amounts to a major statement in favor of privacy rights. And this decision marks a rare setback for the police state. And people say, you know, what are you guys always talking about the police state over there at InfoWars? I'll tell you this story. When I first moved here to the city of Austin, I was on a date with a sexy young thing. And she says, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a reporter. She says, what type of stories do you report on? I said, well, I do a lot of Second Amendment stories. I do a lot of police state stories. And she kind of giggled and laughed. She's like, what do you mean by this police state? I said, well, I mean the drones and the surveillance and the wiretapping and the SWAT teams and the no-knock raids and the no-refusal blood draws, on and on and on. And she said, well, they have to do all that stuff to keep us safe. Well, let's find out exactly how safe they are indeed keeping us. Law enforcement firm, nobody will complain about militarized police when ISIS attacks. A company that provides video training programs for law enforcement has caused controversy by suggesting that nobody will complain about militarized police in America or examples of police brutality when ISIS comes a-calling. Now, there's a tweet or a social media post from In the Line of Duty, and they talk about the youngster Bobo, the infant who was burned by a flash bang grenade. Now, if you guys may recall earlier, I guess it was last year, the Chris Dorner situation. And regardless if you believe everything in the Chris Dorner situation or not, that's not the issue. But you recall the how the house burned down, the cabin burned down, and they had the audio video recordings saying, hey, let's get the gas, burn the gas, and burn this mother effer down. And then they go to the press conference, I believe it was the sheriff. They said, sheriff, you know, what's this deal with your guys on audio tape saying that let's burn this mother effer down? He said, well, you know, you have flashbang grenades, and you often call those things burners. Well, you can call them burners. I have no issue with that. But what about burn the mother effer down in the gas? But that's getting off to another topic. But let's talk about the youngster Bobo, as he is so affectionately called. Toddler critically injured after SWAT team tosses stun grenade into his crib. A family says a SWAT team raided their home in the middle of the night and seriously injured a 19-month-old boy with a stun grenade. So the young man, or should I say the young child, was playing in his crib, the play area. The SWAT team busts in, tosses the flashbang grenade, and seriously injures the child. Now, going on this notion of all we're doing is trying to keep you safe, and as the officer in our last report was talking about, nobody's going to complain about this. Nobody's going to even mention this when you have a big terrorist attack, I guess, from ISIS is what they're anticipating. Well, my deal is, are you still the good guys if you're the one injuring the innocent people? Be like, yeah, so you have to crack a few eggs to make an omelet, but how many omelets, how many young Bobos is acceptable to fight this big threat that I guess we have not seen here in the United States? Well, I guess since 9/11 on that scale, regardless if you believe that whole big thing or not, we definitely do have terrorists. I don't think all of them are hiding in a cave. Some of them are on Capitol Hill in a suit and a tie. But that's just one example. Let's continue to move through here. SWAT team refuses public records request, says we're not a government agency. A regional SWAT team in Massachusetts is refusing to release information on race statistics due to its belief that it is a private organization. So let's go through this. You work for the sheriff's department, or you work for your local PD, maybe you're a Fed, FBI, whatever. You work for the government. So as a government employee, working off taxpayer dollars, if people want to know what you're up to, people should have the right to find out what you're up to, especially something like a SWAT team that is involved in some very serious situations. Now, I can understand you have situations that may be ongoing and you don't want to interfere with the investigation by making certain details public. I can get that to a certain extent. But once the investigation is done, the guy's in jail or the guy's been released free. If people want to know what's going on, they have the right to know what's going on. So we'll continue to move here. And one of the reasons I guess they may not want to tell people what's actually going on is because maybe they're embarrassed by things like this. Raw food raid. Armed agents bust raw milk and cheese sellers. Now, this is an example from California, but I'd be pretty embarrassed if I had all this gear and all these weapons and the big Bearcat vehicles, and I was busting down the door of a cheese maker, because I can imagine these guys sitting around the table like the old veterans do and the old police officers. You see them at the diners and so forth. They say, yeah, I remember back in, 2014, and I did that SWAT raid, and we busted down. We found 15 drug dealers and drug smugglers and human traffickers and AK-47s and AR-15s. And then the other guy says, yeah, I remember I did a SWAT raid, and we got those guys selling that raw cheese. It's like, is that weapons of mass destruction? Why are you have to bust down the door of somebody selling cheese or milk across state lines? Don't we have real crimes and real things that need to be investigated, like who's running guns into Mexico? I mean, can we look into something like that? But no, they want to go down here and bust the people for selling raw milk and cheese. It's completely ridiculous. Now, let's hit some bullet points about these SWAT team raids. We have this 10 facts about the SWATification of America that everyone should know. And for the sake of time, I'll just hit a few here. We'll start with number one. In 1980, there were approximately 3,000 SWAT raids in the United States. Now there are more than 80,000 SWAT raids per year in this country. Let's scroll down to number six. At least 36% of all SWAT raids, there is no contraband of any kind found by the police. I think that's pretty relevant. And let's drop down to number nine. Only 7% of all SWAT deployments are for hostage, barricade, and or active shooter scenarios. So hitting those three bullet points, and you can see the full article on Infowars.com, let's focus on number nine. In only 7% of the deployments, is there a hostage situation or an active shooter or some type of barricade? Because you think about a SWAT team situation, or at least in my mind, the reason why these guys would be deployed, you have, the iconic bank robbery, and the guys are in there and they got the guns, everybody down on the ground. Okay, you need a SWAT team for that. Or maybe there's some domestic dispute and, the guy's holding the knife to the girlfriend or whatever. You may need a SWAT team for that. Of course, an active shooter situation. I can understand that as well. But why are you sending SWAT teams into a situation where there's no immediate threat? Because they love doing these no-knock raids. It's completely ridiculous, but they continue to do these things. And sometimes these situations backfire on the officers themselves. We have this. Murder charges dropped against man who killed cop in a no-knock raid. A Texas grand jury refused to indict a Central Texas man on Wednesday for shooting and killing an officer who entered his home serving a warrant unannounced. And this is a situation that happened, around 6 a.m. The sheriff busted into this guy's door. This happened late last year. And the guy, being a Texan, was armed. And the cops come busting through his house and he shoots one of them and kills them. Or I believe this was a sheriff's officer. And as sad as these stories are, these things happen because you have these no-knock raids. You have this culture, because it's not enough to go to this guy's house and knock on the door, how they used to do. You send one guy to the front, one guy to the back in case he tries to run out the back, serve the warrant, here you go, and that's the end of it. No, they get all these big DHS-funded things and these things from the military, these surplus vehicles, so they have to show it off. They have to make use of it. So these guys dress up, like Master Chief from Halo, and they go kicking somebody's door, and, state of Texas, you're either going to get shot at, or you're going to catch the guy in the act of reaching for his firearm. And unfortunately for this officer, he was actually shot and killed. But at the same time, the officer shouldn't have been in the guy's house in the first place, or at least under these pretenses of doing these no-knock raids, just like they did one on my neighbor. Now, I don't want to go as far as say that's a no-knock raid, because this happened at 5 a.m. and it woke me up out of a dead sleep. So I can't say that whether it was or wasn't announced. But basically, they bust into my neighbor's apartment, battering ram. We got pictures of that. And the cops are running around. He comes and slams my door. And people's like, why'd you open the door in the first place? Because, you have to look out for each other, because they have the guy hogtied down on the ground with his girlfriend and his friends. So I'm just trying to videotape, for his protections, but the police didn't want that. And then they refused, refused to give me the details of why they were there in the first place. Didn't know I could just walk around them and go get the affidavit, which I eventually did. And for the record, I don't think that guy, if you guys remember that last year, he may have been a little nickel and dimer, but that guy was not moving as much dope as necessary to send a SWAT team after him. We lived in some pretty crappy apartments. The guys who get the SWAT team raids are your Scarface types. They live out in suburbia at a nice house, and, you know, they got the yard boy and all that. We didn't have that. That guy was not moving that much dope, if he was moving any dope at all. So murder charges drop against these guys in these no-knock raids. And we'll continue with this. Police now armed for war against returning veterans.
When I first started, we really didn't have the violence that we see today. The weaponry is totally different now than it was in the beginning of my career. Plus, you have a lot of people that are coming out of the military that have the ability and the knowledge to build IEDs and to defeat law enforcement techniques.
So did you hear what he said? That was Sergeant Dan Downing from the Morgan County Sheriff's Department. That's in Illinois. He said we have to get prepared because of all these returning veterans who know how to make IEDs. Now, maybe there is a rash of IED attacks that I'm not aware of, but this is what the guy said he's preparing for. And I say all that to say this is I have no, you know, general issue with the police. I definitely have a problem with police brutality, the use of tasers for compliance, and many other things, these no-knock raids and so forth. But I understand your average officer is on the street. He's just following orders and doing what he thinks is best to police his city. Now, with that said, I don't have an issue with the police in general, but when you have all this unaccountability, that's where my problem starts, because people say, you guys in InfoWars, you're pro-violence toward police. No, we have guys on like Sheriff Nick Finch from Florida who stood up for the Second Amendment. We have guys on like Sheriff David Clark in Milwaukee standing up for the Second Amendment, and many other people. Many of those constitutional sheriffs and peace officers have been guests on this show. I've even interviewed some of them in studio. So we don't hate police. We just hate police brutality and police unaccountability, especially when it comes to our veterans. That's completely uncalled for. If these guys really want to get after the bad guys, they need to go arrest these guys who are down on the border just standing down and not saying, and even that's a whole nother deal. The Border Patrol is being ordered to stand down, so that's why they are not out there enforcing the laws of the land. They're capturing these people, playing catch and release, and just letting them go. Same thing with ICE. We talked to the ICE whistleblower. He said, we're not keeping people in our facilities just because we don't have enough space to house them. So if you really want to do something, go down to the border and secure that. But I know you guys have a tough job, so I'm trying to cut you some slack. But, man, you guys need to have some accountability and hold your supervisors, the big guys, hold their feet to the fire. So we ended this story talking about how they're coming against the returning veterans. But it's not just the police that are cracking down on the veterans. If you live in the wrong neighborhood, your homeowners association will come after you. 73-year-old veteran threatened with foreclosure for displaying American flag.
It's not a flag on a pole. In fact, it is barely noticeable. It's a flag in a flower pot sitting right here at the front door. And the HOA in this community is telling the homeowner the flag has got to go.
The homeowner is Larry Murphy, and he's drawn a line in the sand.
They're trying to got a foreclosure on my house so the house could go. So that's why the flag's upside down.
So how dare you, veteran, in a land where you can't get treatment at the VA facility, in a land where they're putting the illegal immigrants in these military bases, but we have homeless veterans laying on the street. How dare you want to have a flag on your property? And when I first heard the story, I was like, well, maybe this guy has one of those big flags like you see at the car shops or whatever. They have these huge poles and these huge flags, and maybe that's what people are complaining about. He still would have the right to do it. But no, it's not the case at all. A veteran who, lo and behold, wants to fly the colors of his country that he fought for puts a flag in a flower pot, and that's too much for these people in this particular location. Because it's not just here. We've seen the reports in California how the students cannot wear American flag T-shirts because it's insensitive to other students of different countries, from different countries. Also, the guy last week who was told that he cannot have an American flag on his balcony at his apartment because it may upset Muslims. It's completely ridiculous. This is the United States of America. If you want to fly a flag, if you want to wear an American flag T-shirt, you have the right to do this. You can't go to Mexico. I can't go to Canada and say, hey, man, you guys need to take down that maple leaf because I like cherry trees. So that maple leaf is offensive to me. They're just going to laugh at me and probably beat me up in the parking lot. And speaking of something that got beat up, the nanny state in New York. Nanny state suffers a blow. Court overturns the soda ban. The New York Court of Appeals, the highest court in the state, has overturned a ban on the sale of large soda imposed at the behest of Michael Bloomberg in 2012, who said that the law was a response to childhood obesity. So you have all these nanny figures, whether it's Michael Bloomberg, whether it's Michelle Obama, and they're trying to tell your kids what to eat. And I'll be the first to say there is an epidemic of childhood obesity, but I don't think you solve the problem by just making laws saying that you can't have a drink X size, you can't eat Cheetos at lunch, or whatever the situation may be. It's up to the parents. The parents, you guys got to make the right decisions. Stop taking your kids to all these fast food, junky restaurants. Give them some real food. Take the time, sit down with your kids, and you can end the problems there. TSA raises groping fees charged to passengers. Yeah, you didn't know that you're actually paying these people to touch you. So isn't that not prostitution? That's state-sponsored mandatory prostitution when you go to the airport. That's what it is. Fees are currently $2.50 for a nonstop flight or $5 for a trip with a layover. But the next month's increase that Congress approved back in December, the new fees will be $5.60 for a nonstop flight and an extra $5.60 for each leg of the trip when flights are over 4 hours apart. So, yeah, state-sponsored mandatory prostitution when you go to the airport. You say, oh, you're being extreme. There's nothing wrong with these people touching you and all this stuff. Oh, really? We've shown you the montages all the time, how they touch the kids. They were touching on Mini-Me last week. All kinds of weird shenanigans going on with the TSA. And not to mention, they have not caught a single terrorist. And you say, hold on, I'm remembering something. Didn't they catch the underwear bomber? No, they did not catch the underwear bomber. The people on that plane stopped the underwear bomber, not the TSA. All right, so this would be the equivalent of saying you caught, the mass murderer. I caught the mass murderer when he came to my house to kill me. Or the police say that. We caught the mass murderer. I was like, nah, man, the dude kicked in my door and I beat him up or I shot him or my dog bit him. And then I held him here until you got here. I caught the mass murderer, not you. TSA has not stopped a single terrorist. But the security theater, the security shenanigans continue to go on with this organization. And they just need to get out of our lives altogether. And somebody said he had to get this out of his life, so he did the only thing he could think to do. Video. Google conference interrupted by killer robot protest.
And at the beginning, all right. At the beginning of each application is a developer who wants to get their idea out to the market as quickly as possible, no matter what it is.
So whether it's this or situations like the guy at the Super Bowl, just show up and make your voice heard. Now we'll end tonight with a top report on the DrudgeReport.com. Abandoned Walmart considered as feds explore immigrant shelter options. Scrambling to secure accommodations for the overwhelming surge of Central American minors crossing into the United States illegally, the federal government is looking at several sites in New York as potential shelters, including a rundown former Walmart building. So does this not speak to you that in the United States of America, in a place like New York, they have to consider putting illegal immigrants in a Walmart facility because there are just so many, because it wasn't enough for them to be held at the Border Patrol facilities. Those are filled up. Now they are providing people with travel accommodations to go deeper into the United States. We broke that last week in McAllen, Texas. It's not enough that they're in the ICE facilities being released because they don't have enough bed space. It's not enough that they're at the military facilities being housed there at places like San Antonio. Now, it's so far stretched and so far wide that even in the state of New York, they have to come up with shelter accommodations for illegal immigrants. And this is a true crisis. And I don't mean illegal immigration crisis. I mean people just being bussed in here to pretty much destabilize the country. And you say, what do you mean these people are coming here to destabilize the country? Well, it's hard enough to sustain the welfare system as it is. So you have people who are going to come here. And even if they have the best intentions to work, it may be a little difficult for them to get a job if they don't speak the native tongue. So you have a lot of single mothers, a lot of children who are going to need assistance. So it seems to me that these people may be getting some type of financial assistance, not to mention that the Border Patrol is busing people in, giving them travel accommodations, even though these people are supposed to appear in court. So let me give you this example. I live in the city of Austin, Texas. If I get arrested by the Austin Police Department for any offense, once I'm released or, you know, I pay my fine or my fee or whatever, I don't get a bus ticket home, and I just live across town. So they're bringing people in who are not even from this country, giving them travel vouchers to go deeper into the United States. So if you got busted on the Texas-Mexico border and you now live in Chicago because Border Patrol paid for it, do you really think that those people are going to go all the way back to Texas to appear for their court date? Of course not, and they know this as well. This is America destroyed by design, and this is just one more way that they're doing it. But if you want to support America, one more way that you can do it is support the InfoWar. You can go to InfoWars.com and also PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can get the nightly news, the special reports, the rants, and so much more at PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay tuned because after this break, we'll have a special report from Romdu as well as Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs. They're on the ground in El Paso documenting the illegal immigration influx. And also from the vault, Alex Jones detailing biometrics way back in the 90s. This is something that you do not want to miss. This is stuff he prophesied way back then. Well, I guess you can't say it's really prophecy when people write these white papers bragging about this stuff. But for the people who are awake enough to seek out this information and present it to you, this seems very prophetic. So stay tuned for this right after the break.
Alex Jones here to break down some exciting developments in the area of research concerning supplemental iodine. It's nothing less than phenomenal. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. And I used some of the mainline iodine supplements and they upset my stomach and I had some issues with it. Until I discovered a product being developed by Dr. Group, who I was already interviewing as an expert on my radio show, and I began taking the product before he actually rolled it out. You now know it as Survival Shield, true nascent iodine that your body can really absorb. Then, about a year ago, he said, listen, if you think this is powerful, I'm going to come out with rare earth, deep earth crystals that are incredibly powerful that no one else has as a source for their iodine from between 7 and 12,000 feet, literally drilled out of the ground. You put it on a hot plate and it turns into the pure gas. No one else has 99.99% pure iodine. And the results that I personally have had have been life-changing. I was over 270 pounds. And with the iodine, exercise, and better diet, I have lost now more than 50 pounds total, and I'm continuing to lose the weight. I have more energy, my libido, all this crap came out of my skin. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen. This is innovating. This is trailblazing. And the best part is it helps fund InfoWars.com, the radio show, the TV show, the whole media operation promoting true libertarian ideas.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLive.com.
Over the past few weeks, InfoWars has been documenting the illegal immigration influx coming into the United States. This week, our crew is in El Paso, Texas, where Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs and Rob Dew had a chance to sit down with the VP of the Border Patrol Union. This is an exclusive interview that you'll find only here, premiering now on the InfoWars Nightly News.
My name is Stu Harris. I'm First Vice President with Local 1929 of the National Border Patrol Council. Right now, the biggest concern, obviously, is this Central American invasion that's happening right now, and not just the humanitarian aspect of it, because what we know is that the cartels control the smuggling routes, and it's the cartels that are pushing these people from Central America across the river instead of taking them to a port of entry where if they turn themselves in at a port of entry, the end result is going to be the same. So it's the cartels pushing these groups across the river to tie up our agents. And meanwhile, our agents are tied up processing, you know, feeding these people, changing diapers. And the drug cartels are running whatever or whoever they want across the border and other places. And who or what is coming in, we don't know. And we won't know until something bad happens. And that right now is the biggest concern that we have. And this has to be addressed. We want to make sure they're not carrying any infectious diseases or contagious diseases, so our agents aren't put in harm's way unnecessarily. Once that's done, obviously, you know, medical evaluation if they need it, if they're asking for any kind of medical assistance, we'll provide what we can there. And then they're taken to a processing center where they either wait to be processed or they're sent to El Paso or Tucson, and they're run through the system, fingerprints, all 9 yards. They're issued a packet. They're given a notice to appear before a judge, and they're released. You know, a lot of what we're hearing in the media and other places is that, you know, the conditions in Central America, economic, they're just horrible conditions. There's violence. There's gang violence. And that's true. And you know, that's a terrible, terrible way to have to live. But that's been going on for more than 10 years. Okay. So for this invasion to start suddenly happening, something else had to change. And what changed was the fact that we were engaging in this catch and release program. And word spreads fast. And our agents are interviewing these people when they're being processed. And one of the things they ask them, so why come now? And the answer is 90% of the time, because you're going to give me a permiso or a permit. They know they're going to be processed and released, and they're free to go wherever they want to go in the United States. And the likelihood of them ever showing up is, you know, for their court date, slim to none. And you know, even if they did show up for their court date, what we're going to start seeing is what we call the anchor babies. Okay, because these court dates are being set, from what I understand, so far down the road, these people are going to come here, they're going to settle in, some of them are going to have children, those children are now United States citizens. How is the judge going to deport these people if they have a United States citizen as a child? He's not, even if they did show up. So that's a problem. I don't have an exact number on it. If I had to guess, I would say probably about 90% of these people, once they're here, they're here. And they're not going to go before an immigration judge knowing that they could be facing deportation. We're absolutely against amnesty. You know, amnesty has been touted as, you know, we need to bring these people out of the shadows. And, well, that's all well and good. But we shouldn't be letting them go into the shadows in the first place like we're doing right now. So, amnesty is not the answer. Well, it is a huge burden. And I'm sure you know DHS has been rated one of the worst places to work in the federal government. And that's because of the morale issue. Now you pile a situation like this on top, you know, our agents are looking for jobs elsewhere. You know, some are ready to leave for, go back to their hometown, work for their local police department. So it's a huge burden. Morale is the worst that it's ever been by far. And again, this situation has to be addressed. I know of at least one from our sector that transferred to another job. And I know more of our agents are looking. Right now, in places other than the Rio Grande Valley sector, our agents are being pulled off the line in less than their 10-hour shifts because of the budget concerns. And so it's exposing some areas. But we're starting to see what's happening in the Rio Grande Valley sector. We're starting to see that here. We've had upwards of 70 people from Central America just turn themselves into the agents here. So this is a Southwest border problem. And it's also a problem for the United States because these people are going throughout the United States. It's hard to say. I mean,
so you said it's averaging about 100, 150 a day almost?
Yeah, about 100, 150 a day. That's about the best number I could put on it. You know, if they do the right thing and start detaining these people and not catch and release like they are now, the problem as far as the Central American invasion that's going on right now will stop. As we've seen it in the past, we've seen it, I think it was in 2004, we had a lot of people from Brazil that were coming in. Not at this magnitude, but that's what was happening here. And when we started detaining those people, it stopped. As far as how many people are getting biased that we don't know about, I just don't know how you can put a number on something that you don't see or something that you can't physically count.
The Globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula, sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Groot. Today I'd like to talk about the war on women. You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Super Male Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Each of these ingredients works synergistically with the female body in order to maximize overall vitality. If you've heard the reviews and the feedback on how the original Super Male Vitality has revitalized relationships, now both the man and the woman can have the revitalization in their own bodies with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
All right, we're ready for you.
All right, they're ready for me. Let's go. Come over and get the pretty little red light. Come on. Isn't that pretty? And they'll put a nice little clinic in here in the next few years for urine and blood testing like Clinton wants. What do I have to hide? I'm a criminal. Here we have it. Nice little pretty red light. Get that, Mike. There we have it. Your photograph, they capture your signature, they capture your thumbprint, and now Clinton wants urine and blood, and I've given that to the media, the actual federal register that he wants the states to implement. And I guess it tells them how to put clinics in, and it tells them how to urine and blood test law-abiding citizens not under 18, like the media says.
Hi.
How you doing? I am here with 8 forms of identification. I have my passport. Here is that, my name, and the form you asked me to fill out. I have no criminal record. My name is Alexander Emmerich Jones. Here is my passport. Here is my insurance. Here is another form of ID. Here is my old driver's license. Here is my birth certificate. And here is my W-2 form. And here is 2 more insurance cards, old ones, just so you can double check. It sends a health club card.
You've got plenty of ID. Okay. Good to go. We're going to get you through right now.
I need for you to answer these first 3 questions.
Take a look at these questions there and go over them things.
So I don't have to thumb scan.
Well, we're going to get to that. You are eventually going to have to. Yes, sir.
But not now.
Not at this point, but you will before we're done with the process.
Why?
Because it's required.
It's required by Bill Clinton in 1992. And it was instituted here in Texas in 1993. I know the code, sir. Are you going to institute his urine and blood testing when he commands you? Are you going to stick a needle in my arm when I have no criminal record?
The only answers, only questions I'm going to answer right now are concerning driver's license issuance.
You just follow orders, don't you? So you're saying you're going to deny me the constitutional right to travel if I do not submit to this digital thumb scanning?
What I will tell you, today you will not receive a duplicate driver's license if you do not submit to a thumbprint.
Okay, look, I feel like I'm being raped here.
Well, I would sit down with you for hours and try to do what I could to help you.
Then just give me my license without digitally thumb scanning.
I am not going to violate DPS policy.
Is there a religious exception?
For your exception.
Is there a religious exception?
No. No, sir, there's not.
Everyone must take the mark. A digitally enhanced mark.
I'm not talking about mark.
A digital tattoo.
I know. Your ID, you are good to go.
Yeah? Well, if I'm good to go, why do you need my thumbprint?
Because it's part of the procedure of
issuing. It's part of Bill Clinton's law, isn't it? It's an executive order. It's a decree by Bill Clinton.
NCIC.
Yeah, and if I drive without a license, what's the penalties for driving without a license?
You know, I don't even want to go there.
That's right.
You know why?
I'm asking you.
It doesn't pertain to it.
You're an officer. I'm asking you the law.
I would be glad to sit down.
So you're saying I'll be committing a crime by driving if I don't take your mark?
I would be glad to do anything I can help you, sir.
Well, see, you're saying
I'm not against you, and I understand.
Officer Ard, you're sitting here, Sergeant, and telling me that you're all friendly and you're all nice. But I'll be pulled over and given tickets. If I don't pay those, I will go to jail because I, because of my morals and my beliefs, I will not take this. And I'm here to tell you, I already took this in 93, and many people will say, well, you've already taken it. What's your problem with it? Because now I figured out what this is, and I'm opposing all those others that are being herded in here like cattle to be thumb-scanned like criminals.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
We don't even need to start there. If I know that you're not going to submit to a thumbprint, why waste your time?
See, right up front. They will drop, and people are being turned away all day here. So you're saying I pay my taxes, I'm raped by the IRS, which is criminal. You know, it's well known.
And you heard the key word submit.
Submit. He just said I must submit.
Laid it down the counter.
I'm telling you, I've never been to jail.
I don't know. What do you want me to do for you?
I want you to give me my driver's license. I want my driver's license. I am not a criminal. I may become one today, but that's fine. You're saying you won't take me to jail at 5 if I'm still here.
No, we're not going to take you to jail.
Oh, yeah. This is against the grain of the Constitution. Look, if I don't take the mark, my right to travel is taken. You're taking my rights and telling me that it's no big deal? And now you want a urine and blood test. Bring me the document. Who has the urine and blood testing document? I need it. I'm going to pass these out to people. Ladies and gentlemen, the Federal Register, Bill Clinton, urine and blood testing plan for you. Tell your friends about it. We have got to stand against this. The states are preparing to implement this plan. This is not a joke. This is not the entire document. It gets worse. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a joke to them. Only Coach Penders matters. Only diversions like Rome, the gladiators. If I don't take this, will I not be penalized for not having a driver's license, by not being able to cash a check, by being given tickets that if I don't pay those tickets, I'll be taken to jail. I can't travel out of state. I can't get on board an airplane. And the media is talking about thumb scanning to travel. You're working with the foreign banks and the military industrial complex. This is all their idea. Read the Military War College from 1968. They planned this. Just because you lay around doesn't mean it's not true. This is not a publicity stunt. I was a lot happier years ago before I got into all this garbage. I'm sick of sheep laying down. I wish you'd get up and do something. Makes me want to vomit. Our forefathers went to World War II and World War I and fought in the Civil War to end slavery, and it means nothing to y'all. We're a bunch of yellow-bellied weaklings. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people laying down like a bunch of jellyfish and rationalizing what's going on. People ought to be ashamed of themselves.
My brother's a cop.
Gold star in the arm and be quiet.
Yes. Exactly.
Now look very carefully at Mike Cox. He is head public information officer for all of Texas for the DPS. They weren't going to arrest me, but about 15 minutes into the protest, he showed up and things changed dramatically. He walked up, stared at me, turned, walked back to the back. They had a little meeting together, and then they came and arrested me.
If you don't leave now, I will be forced to arrest you.
Sir, I am here to get a driver's license. I have never had a criminal record. It's time to go. Here I go. Get my stuff for me.
45, patient.
The DPS was very professional, but they did the classic bait and switch. They got all the troopers on one side of the building and made us think that I was coming out there.
Look at all this.
I hope we've painted you a picture of what's really happening here in the nation. I got out of jail that night with a Class C misdemeanor, and I'm taking it to court, and I'm sure I'll defeat it with a jury trial. It was a small price to pay, though, to bring light upon the biometric technologies.
Well, that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Blockit Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.